So, good afternoon, everybody. And today I'm going to talk about a recent study I have been doing, which is some latent class analysis of stages of change for multiple health behaviors. And here's my disclosure. You know, basically, I had no financial relationships to disclose. And here's the outline of my talk. You know, as usual, introduction, methods, results, and discussion. And for those who are not very familiar with stages of change model, I will first give a brief introduction of that model. And I will also give some background information for multiple health behaviors, multiple behavior intervention. The stages of change model was first developed by James Prochaska and Carlo Di Clemente at the University of Rhode Island in the late 1970s. And the basic idea of it is that behavior change does not happen in one step. People tend to progress through different motivational stages on their way to change. And since everybody knows that one size of shoes doesn't fit all, and the stages of change model calls for that intervention should be tailored to for participants at different stages. And the stages of change model has been applied to a broad range of behaviors, including smoking, weight loss, exercise, and eating habits. More specifically, the stages of change model usually divides the motivational stage for behavioral change into five stages. That is pre-contemplation. In the pre-contemplation stage, a person is not intending to change in the foreseeable future at all, as compared to the contemplation stage where a person is prepared to change, where the person, although the person is not prepared to change at present, but he is intending to do it within the next 6 months. And then the preparation stage indicates a person who is actively considering changing behavior in the immediate future, such as, you know, within the next 30 days. And action stage indicates a person who has already made behavior change recently, but the change has not been well established yet. And finally, the maintenance stage means the person has already changed the behavior for more than 6 months and is currently working on sustaining the change. So nowadays, effective lifestyle interventions to prevent chronic diseases often target on multiple behaviors. Stages of change for multiple health behaviors usually result in many different responses patterns, or in other words, a high-dimensional contingency table. So as shown in the right panel of this slide, that if we have three categorical variables with two categories for each variable, you basically got eight cells already. And since for each behavior, the stages of change, for each behavior, there are five stages. So basically, that means you will get 5 times 5 times 5, which equals 125 different patterns. And that is a little hard to deal with statistically. So up to now, only a few previous studies apply the stages of change model to multiple behaviors simultaneously. And they usually use individualized intervention regimen because there are so many different response patterns. However, many intervention strategies are more cost effective if implemented in a group setting. Furthermore, recent studies have shown that group support as well as experience sharing that happened during group sessions are very helpful for behavioral change recently. So if we can identify a few latent classes among participants based on their stages of change for multiple behaviors, it may help us to design group interventions tailored for a few classes, and hence combine the advantages of both stages of change model as well as group interventions. So next, I'm going to talk about, give a brief overview of latent class analysis here. Latent class analysis is it's a statistical method that can be used to identify latent subgroups through a set of observed multiple categorical indicators. And it provides a parsimonious and intuitively meaningful summary of cell frequencies in a high-dimensional contingency table, such as the one I just talked about when you look at the stages of change for multiple behaviors. If you are familiar with factor analysis, it is actually analogous to factor analysis for continuous observed variables, and hence it may be used to parse out measurement errors for categorical observed indicators. It has become popular in many different recent areas recently. Just to review some key concepts of latent class analysis for those who are not familiar with this method. Latent classes are the categories of the latent categorical variable which divide a population into mutually exclusive subgroups, or you can also call it latent classes. And class membership probabilities are the percentages of observations belonging to each latent class. So for example, if there are three different latent classes, then LCA will report three class membership probability estimates, one for each latent class, and the three estimates will add up to 100%. One key assumption for latent class analysis is the conditional independence assumption, which assumes that within each latent class, the observed indicators are independent of each other. And in LCA, conditional item response probabilities refer to the probabilities of each response for every indicator conditional on their latent class membership. For example, the probability of choosing one for the first indicator if a subject belongs to the first class, while posterior probabilities are the probability of individuals being classified in a given class based on the individual's observed responses to the categorical indicators. So for example, if there are three classes, each subject will have three posterior probabilities, indicating the probability of classifying that individual into class one, two, or three. And here's the statistical model specification for LCA. I'll skip the details of it due to time limit. Or if you're not interested in that. And so one important step of LCA is to select the best model. In other words, to determine how many classes exist in the data. And there are many different criteria proposed for this purpose, including information criteria such as AIC and BIC, or some likelihood ratio-based tests such as G-square. And there are also entropy-based measures. And when selecting the number of latent classes, we always need to consider that we should avoid solutions with low class membership probability, and also take model parsimony and interpretability into consideration. Latent class analysis with covariates is a natural extension of the traditional latent class analysis, in which that the rates of class membership are related to covariates by a multinomial logistic regression, where the regression coefficient represents the logout of an individual forced into each latent class relative to the reference class. So basically, the traditional latent class analysis only look for the how many latent classes exist in a sample, while LCA with covariates can look at the relationships between latent classes and some interesting covariates. So now let's look at the latent class analysis results of stages of change for multiple behaviors using a real data set. Let me first introduce the data set. It comes from the Special Diabetes Program for Indians Diabetes Prevention Program. I will call it SDPIDP in later slides. It is a translational project of research findings into real-world settings. In recognition of the huge diabetes disparities among American Indian and Alaska natives, in 2002, the Congress directed the Indian Health Service to develop demonstration projects that implementing evidence-based prevention activities for diabetes and its complications among American Indian Alaska Native communities. The SDPIDP project is one of the two demonstrations funded and is designed to reduce diabetes incidence among AIANs with pre-diabetes through implementation of a lifestyle intervention. And the 36 grantee sites from diverse AIAN communities all over the country participated in this study. Baseline data collection started in January 2006 and finished in August 2009, at which time around 3,000 participants responded to a baseline questionnaire. And this is just the project design of this study, of this project. Being a translational project, it was actually designed to have only one arm, the intervention arm. So after baseline assessment, every participant attended the lifestyle balance curriculum that was developed in a highly successful national randomized clinical trial. And the participants' diabetes risks were evaluated again right after the curriculum and annually after that. And this current study actually used the baseline data only from SDPIDP. And at baseline, the participants answered questions about their stages of change for multiple health behaviors. And as shown in this table, stages of change variables for three behaviors were used in this study, which are exercise, diet, and weight loss. And in addition, actually, please note that the measures for weight loss actually only had four stages instead of five. So that's a little unusual. And the preparation stage was missing from this measurement. In addition to stages of change variables, other measurements included in this study, including social demographics, as well as some behavioral indicators and some psychosocial factors. Oops. So this table shows you the different model selection criteria, for different numbers of classes. So basically, we fit latent class analysis with 1 to 6 latent classes, and the one class model was used as a baseline model. And if you plot these the G square AIC and BIC, and you can see that the curves changes around 3 and 4, and after that, since the model with three latent classes had the lowest BIC, and also based on model interpretability and parsimony, we decided to choose the model with three latent classes as our final model. So here, this graph shows you the conditional item response probabilities for the first latent class. And you can see that the majority of respondents were classified, responded to the contemplation stage for diet and exercise, while many participants were responded to the contemplation stage for weight control. So we call this class as a contemplation class. And then the second latent class, you can see that most participants responded to the preparation stage for both diet and exercise. And again, please know that because the stage of change measurement for weight loss didn't have the preparation stage, so you know, most of the participants responded to either the contemplation stage or the action stage for that variable. And we call this class as a preparation class. And the class membership probability for this class is around a third. Oops. And the last graph show the last latent class, most respondents chose either action or maintenance for all three behaviors as for their stages of change. So we call this class as the action maintenance class. So to validate the meaningfulness of the identified latent classes, we performed latent class analysis with corresponding behavior measures used entered as covariates. As expected, those in the action maintenance stage exercised more often than did those who were in the contemplation or preparation class. They also ate healthy foods more often and eat unhealthy food less frequently. In addition, similarly, the actors and maintainers had significantly smaller BMI as compared to the contemplators and the preparators. So all of these relationships were in the expected direction, and they were highly statistically significant with p-values less than 0.001. And when we look at the association between latent class membership and psychosocial factors, we find that the perceived health competence were highest among the actors and maintainers, and as well as the coping skills were highest among those who were in the action and maintenance class. And they also got a lot more positive family support from their family members. And furthermore, they had the highest health-related quality of life for both physical and mental component. So in conclusion, the contributions of these findings are threefold. First of all, it suggests that stages of change for three health behaviors may be summarized by a three-class model. And based on that, class-specific interventions may be designed to deliver lifestyle intervention more effectively and efficiently. LCA also allows us to check the validity of the original stages for change, of the original stages of change measurements. For example, the algorithm for assessing readiness to change for losing weight might be improved by adding a preparation stage. In terms of future directions, we have confirmed that LCA is an effective way for data reduction. And by reducing the numerous number of possible response patterns to a few latent classes, the analysis of multiple stages of change variables, either used as outcome variable or as covariate, will be significantly simplified and streamlined. In addition, examining the differences in behavior change outcomes among different latent classes represent important next steps in this line of research. And latent transitional analysis may be used to analyze the changes in the latent classes across time when the longitudinal data set is ready. And as every other studies, we have some limitations. First of all, the sample is American Indian Alaska Native only, and who were interested in lifestyle intervention. So very few were classified into the pre-contemplation stage at the baseline, so it may be limited in its ability to be generalized to other populations. And the second, the multi-site nature of SDPI-DP rendered the conditional independence assumption of LCA questionable. However, you know, some recent multi-level LCA results show that it actually did not change the results meaningfully. And finally, due to the voluntary nature of the questionnaires, missing data were unavoidable, and further sensitivity analysis will be needed to test the robustness of the findings of this study. So finally, I would like to thank my collaborators from the Centers for American Indian Alaska Native Health, as well as Indian Health Service. I also would like to thank our funding agency, Division of Diabetes Treatment and Prevention from Indian Health Service, and also all of our IHS tribal and urban Indian health programs and participants involved in SDP-IDP. Thank you. So basically, you know, the probability you are talking about are the posterior probabilities I was talking about.
So you're saying that if your posterior probability is,
Yeah, most likely in practice. Theoretically, you know, LCA doesn't really mean that because, you know, there's uncertainty about the posterior probabilities, but in practice, that's probably what will be done. Yeah.
Is there any, like, complications with, because exercise and diet impacts weight loss?
Wasn't a preparation stage.
Right.
Yeah.
Preparation, it would be from exercise and diet.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good question. Actually, we were debating whether to add in the, you know, the indicator, the stages of change for weight loss or not, since it is a little overlap, although not completely overlapped. And, you know, latent class analysis is kind of, it's another multiple indicator, you know, another method for multiple indicators. So theoretically, they should have some overlapping, the indicators. Yeah. Yeah.
Could you just say something about the level of item non-response? There were two other papers today in another session dealing with that issue, and how serious was it?
Sure. Yeah, actually, I don't really think the item non-response is not that serious. It's pretty low for exercise and weight loss, like less than 5% for each of those. And then for the other one, it's less than 10%. It's about 10%, but I think it was a little design error in terms of the questionnaire. It's just a layout of the design that people may just didn't see that question. So it really should be missing at random. Overall, I think it, right, but I think it was about 15%, yeah. And we did some preliminary imputation. We didn't really see much difference, though. That's not finalized yet, though.